The question today is, what does the Bible say about hell? This is the fourth part of this message, or this question. We've dealt with many facets of hell, such as the experience of hell. What is the experience of hell? And we said it was a time to look up, a time to cry out for mercy, a time of active and personal torture because we've sinned actively and personally against the Lord. It's a place of bodily punishment, thirst and fire and suffering and weeping and wailing, the worms and the gnashing of the teeth. And yet, it's a place where the memory will not be erased. You'll remember all those gospel invitations, wished you had a chance again, but there'll be no place, no gospel invitations, nobody to bother you, and most of all, there would be no God. We said the eternality of hell, as far as it's eternal, it's forever and ever. There is no end to it. And the devil, the beast, the false prophets, the first two that'll be in the lake of fire. And man's in hell waiting for the great white throne judgment. But the revelation, well, when the Lord comes back and sets his foot upon this earth and battle of Armageddon ensues, then the beast and false prophet be taken and cast in the lake of fire. Then 1,000 years later, after the devil has been chained for 1,000 years, he'll be loosed together for the battle of Gog and Magog. And he'll be cast in the lake of fire as well, where the beast and false prophet are. Not where they were, but they'll still be there roasting and frying for 1,000 years. And then, of course, there's a great white throne judgment where all hell's going to empty out like the county jail and stand before God and be judged and be cast in the lake of fire. But in a place that God only prepared for the devil and his angels, but yet he had to enlarge it because man chose to go the devil's way instead of receive the light that God gave him. In that, I believe in hell and in Gehenna, in the lake of fire as well, there'll be demons that will scream and taunt you and haunt you and say forever. And if I could mock them, I would. I know Brother Percy Ray used to mock them, and it'd make the hair stand up on the back of your neck as he'd say forever, forever, and he'd growly gruff voice would say those demons crying forever and forever and ever. But you say, preacher, all my friends will be in hell. Listen, in hell there'll be no friends. There'll be gnashing of teeth. There'll be enemies. And some says Mark 9, it talks about where their worm dieth not. Some says that's the conscience. Well, that is the conscience. In one way, it will not die. But the word actually is a word which means maggot. It means you'll be like in a bed of maggots, and yet there'll be a fire, darkness forever, a falling, and no bottom. The bottomless pit is what it's called. And you say, but oh, we'll escape from hell. There is no escape. In fact, verse number 26 in Luke chapter 16, as Jesus spoke about the rich man and Lazarus, he said, and beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. In other words, it's eternal. There will be no escape. There's a gulf in that day between them. Now that's Abraham's bosom has been emptied, and it's in the third heaven. Jesus emptied and carried paradise in the third heaven. And John 3:3 says, it says that, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. And until you're born again, you'll not even see it. See that. Now, we know that the Bible warns us clearly in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13 and 14, as he said, enter ye in to straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. In other words, you need to turn from the broad way to the narrow way, and then continue on that narrow way that leads to the straight gate. Even from the even the message from hell was to repent. Repent. In other words, the Bible said in verse number 27 through 30 of Luke, as Jesus spoke about the rich man and Lazarus, he said, Then said he, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, Lazarus, talking about, to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. In other words, he said, send somebody to tell them to repent. But Abraham said, they've got Moses, they've got the Word, and they've got the prophets, they've got the preachers. In other words, and you realize something, that's the message from hell. A warning from hell is to repent. And yet, man is hearing the message over and over today and is spurning that and just letting it drift by the wayside. And he said, if they hear not Moses and the word and the prophets, the preachers, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. In fact, we now have someone who rose from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And men are not persuaded by His resurrection. You see, if you die and go to hell, a real place, if you're not saved, you'll go. If you're safe till you reach a knowledge of accountability. But after that, if you die in that state of lostness, that separation from God, your name will be blotted out of the book of life, and the wrath of God will fall upon you, and you'll go to hell. And you'll not have a leg to stand on. You'll have no excuse. For if you go to hell, it'll be in spite of the cross of Calvary. It'll be in spite of the bloodshed on that cross that you might have forgiveness of sin. It'll be in spite of the Word of God that God has so graciously preserved us. It'll be in spite of the Holy Spirit that is striving in this dispensation. It'll be in spite of this radio broadcast. It'll be in spite of godly friends. And it'll be in spite of preacher appeals. You see, hell needs to be a reality to us. It's part of reproval, the work of reproval. God said He reproves you of sin, of righteousness and judgment, and of judgment, verse 11 says, John 16, because the prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world is judged. And what he's saying is, if God will judge Lucifer, who was in essence the Lord's right-hand man, His right-hand archangel, if God judged him, what chance do we have who are just really sinners, who are born in the image of Adam? What chance do we have? You see, we need to come to that place to realize that we need to be reproved of hell, of judgment to come. But folks, it's not enough just to have the judgment to come. We need to be convinced that we need righteousness of God. If all you had is a fear of hell when you supposedly got saved, then you're not saved, because God don't save you to keep you out of hell. He saves you for His glory. And He must be revealed to you. The Bible said, He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And He is the righteousness of God whom you need. And He's hidden in the bosom of the Father, and the Holy Spirit must reveal Him to you. So if all you had's a fear, you've never been convinced of the righteousness of God whom you need to be convinced of. So we thank the Lord for His goodness and for forbearing and holding back His wrath. That's why He said in Romans 2:4, the long-suffering of God, the goodness of God and forbearing, which means holding back that wrath, so that we may be convicted of sin and convinced of righteousness and have a place of repentance. And He's holding back the wrath to give us that space. What we need to do is allow the Holy Spirit to finish that work that He has started, the completed work of conviction, and that you might be saved and escape the awful gusts of hell. And that's a real place. And so we've looked at hell. It's what does the Bible say about hell? It's essential, because God made it for the devil and his angels. But He has no choice but to enlarge it to receive men who's rejected life. We said there's some erroneous teachings about hell. There is no purgatory, as some preach. And even if there was, even the fires of purgatory would not cause a man to repent, because Revelation 16 said they were scorched by the sun and they repented not to give God glory. So you see, that's erroneous teaching. And Luke 16 is not a parable. Hell is not the grave, because that's all man sees. And men want to say, well, you just go to the grave and that's it. Oh no, there's a judgment you've got to stand before. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, you're going to have to stand before a holy God one day. And another era of teaching is that man says that only way man can be convicted is to preach on hell. And that's not so. The Bible says His goodness leads you to repentance. Some say, you're not bad enough. I'm not bad enough to go to hell. But the opposite's true. You're not good enough to go to hell. That's erroneous teaching. So it's a real place. Hell is a real place prepared for the devil and his angels. And Psalms 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into the hell, and all nations that forget God. And nations are made up of people. It's those that reject the light. Also, another error is that Jesus preached more about hell than He did about heaven. That's not so. He preached more about heaven than He did about hell. But hell stands out, and people use that more. And so, therefore, man enters hell at death's door. He sometimes has a hand that wants to hold on to things of this world. He has a foot that wants to walk in the ways of this world. He has eyes who wants to lust after the things of this world, material things, instead of reaching out to God. And those things, he said, it would be better to cut them off, pluck them out, than it would to enter into hell whole. It'd be better to enter into life maimed, because God's going to give you a glorified body if you're saved. And so it's entered through death's door. And of course, the experience of hell, time to look up, memory will be erased, crying out for mercy, active and personal torture, bodily punishment, no gospel invitations, but no God. Oh, how sad that'll be. And the first three, of course, to be there is the false prophet Antichrist, and then the devil will be cast there, and then every person who's not saved will stand before the great white throne of judgment and be cast in the lake of fire, and there will be no escape from that place called hell. Hell is a real place. Hell is a reality. I know we sometimes have jokes about things, and I heard the joke one time about a girl told her mama, she said, "Mama, that boy I'm a-going with don't even believe in hell." And she said, "Well, marry him, and we'll show him there is one." But folks, that's just a joke. There is nothing on this earth is hell. People want to say I'm living in hell on earth. I've got hell in my home, and I've got this, and I've got that. But nothing is compared to the real place called hell. Why? Because there is no God there. There's darkness. You'll be separated from God. And that's why a person, whenever you're reproved of sin, you'll experience the separation from God that we call lostness. That's a reality, not something you have in your head to say I'm a sinner, but it's the lostness that becomes a reality. And God shows you that you're not saved. But then He stops and shows you Himself, the righteousness of God, whom you need. It's not your righteousness. It's not self-righteousness. It's the Lord Jesus Christ you need. And whenever the Holy Spirit convinces you of your sin of unbelief and of the righteousness who is Jesus and the fact that you deserve hell and would go there if it were not for the grace of God, then you come to a place to where repentance is worked in you and faith is produced in you. Then and then only can you repent and believe unto salvation. That's when you obey the gospel, and that's the work of God, and God will get all the glory for that. And you say, "But preacher, who's that for?" It's for anyone who will obey the light you have. If you will obey light God's given you, God will bring you to the place. He gives you more light. He'll bring you all the way home in light and bring you through the straight gate. Strive to enter in the straight gate, for many are going to seek and not be able. Too many are trying, and that's not works for salvation, but it's just not willing to pay the price to overcome the obstacles that the flesh, the world, and the devil sets in front of you. You've got to strive. You've got to seek Him with all your heart. And as you walk the narrow way that leads to the straight gate, He'll teach you what you need to know to have the understanding of who He is and what He's doing for you and what He will do for you. May the Lord bless you is our prayer. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.